Good morning. My name is Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to this morning's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mr. Ben Schifrin, who is on the board of the Gemisi School Head, and he is on the board of the International Dyslexia Association. And Ben's here to talk to us about dyslexia and why we should help. So, Ben, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here, and I just want to thank you for doing a show on dyslexia. I think it's one of the most hidden disabilities, or I would say learning differences that students have or people hide.
Yeah, it is. It affects a lot of folks, doesn't it?
Yes, statistics, and they're hard to tell, say anywhere between 10 to 15% of the student population currently in the United States have some form of a language-based learning disability similar to dyslexia.
Wow. And I guess a lot of folks don't know it.
No, they don't. And they sometimes it's really amazing at Gemisi when we see students and all of a sudden we start working with them. The parent says, my God, I was just like that in school. It's amazing. I can't believe how I struggled in school. And it's really amazing because we do know that hereditary plays a large role in dyslexia.
Yeah. And let's talk more about that. You are the head of the Gemisi School.
That is correct.
Could you please tell us a little bit about the school?
Well, Gemisi is a unique school that works with children who have what I call a language-based learning difference / dyslexia. And a lot of people, I can give you a very formal definition, but I'm going to talk in layman's terms. So as a parent, if you're listening, you can kind of say, because, you know, dyslexia is a label, but what do we really mean when we talk about a child who has dyslexia or an adult that has dyslexia? I'm going to tell you, it's very simple. Usually it's a child or an adult who understands the world at a gifted level. Comprehension is not a problem. If you speak to them, if you read a story to them, not only do they comprehend it, but they usually comprehend it at a gifted level. Mm-hmm. Where they struggle is in the mechanics of language, the system we created as human beings called reading. And English is a very tough language. You know, as human beings, we naturally learn to speak, we naturally learn to think, and we naturally learn to understand. But the written language is something that humans created, that our brains are not necessarily wired to understand written language. We teach our brains that. Therefore, a dyslexic child's brain or a person that has dyslexia isn't wired the same way, and they have a tough time acquiring those written language skills. And I don't mean just writing. I mean seeing the word on the page, understanding how to put it into written word. Letters are strange to them. They're not a common thing. But again, I come back to the innate intelligence is there. And some of our most famous people in the world were dyslexics. Where would we be without Albert Einstein? Where would we be without Thomas Edison? Dyslexic children and adults tend to be CEOs. There was a recent publication in Forbes magazine about a year ago that said about half the top CEOs in this country are dyslexic because I truly believe they see outside the box. They don't see the world the way the typical human being does. Mm-hmm. And it's a silent difference. That's why children struggle. You know, they sit in the classroom and they understand what's going on, but when they're asked to read that word, they don't understand and they begin to lose their self-esteem and they begin to think they're not good enough. And that's why there's schools like Gemisi and organizations like the International Dyslexia Association to be their advocate, to get out there and say, wait a minute, these students are bright and just need to be taught differently how to read.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's half the CEOs.
Yes.
Wow.
If you talk to them in the country, they all had. Now, it may not be as severe, but Charles Schwab is a perfect example who has come forward to say he was dyslexic. Okay. I mean, it's amazing when you talk to them or even you start describing, they say, I was just like that in school. I never knew what it was, why I wasn't succeeding. I mean, Einstein failed out of school. I mean, look at the brain that that man had. Yeah. Thomas Edison, the inventions that he saw. And I could go on and on. And you know, I was out in Los Angeles for a while, and it's amazing the number of writers and Hollywood people who are involved in the arts that have some form of dyslexia. And it's really because they think outside the box. I truly believe that.
Wow. But it is congenital.
It absolutely is.
So it runs in families?
Absolutely. I could tell you that just looking at Gemesee, we watched the father, and now they're old enough, and we're watching their children come through the school. Or we have the mother, and God forbid it's a mother and father, it's almost a guarantee they start saving right away for the tuition.
Yeah. How can somebody find out more information about dyslexia?
I would say the best resource you have here in Maryland is to go to the Maryland branch of the International Dyslexia Association. Mm-hmm. And you can reach them at www.idamd.org. Again, that's www.idamd.org. And you will find lots of information. There's also the International Dyslexia website that can give you more information. And I would say that's the best resource right now in the Maryland area.
Yeah, I've been on that website. It's a good one.
Great.
Great links.
Great links.
Yeah.
And a lot of questions answered. And I think you can start there and you would find a lot of information you need.
Right. And you're on the board.
I have the privilege, because it's a passion of mine, if you hear it in my voice, I'm a dyslexic adult who suffered going through school. In the third grade, a teacher called my mother in and told her that she should look at alternative things because I'll never learn to read and I will never learn to succeed in the world. Well, fast forward to my 57, almost 58 years, I graduated college with honors, and I've devoted my life that no child, no matter whether dyslexic or not, should ever go through pain at school. Learning should be something we experience a joy. It should be something we get up and want to learn. As human beings, we love to learn. Think of adults. Think when you learn something on the computer for the first time, that self-gratification. And that's what education should be about in this country. And instead, it's amazing to me. I watch a first grader go off to school. It's the happiest day of their life. They're carrying their book bag with a smile from ear to ear. And somewhere between first and third grade, we wipe that smile off that face and wipe that desire to learn. And I am committed to this country, not just for dyslexic students, but for all students to experience the joy of learning again. And I think it's important, and that's why our country is behind. I know I said a loaded question there.
Yeah, well, yeah. How am I gonna tackle that one, Ben?
I don't. But you know, it really. If parents are out there in the community and they're worried if their child has dyslexia, I want to tell you first, as a parent, you are your child's advocate. No one else in the world is going to advocate for them better than the parent. So that's a deep responsibility I'm putting on you. And number two, always believe in your child. You know your child's bright. I remember my mother used to sit there and tell the teacher, but he pulls things apart and puts them together. He's absolutely brilliant in what he does. And you know, parents out there, you are your child's advocate before the school. And you, when you sense something isn't right, you have an absolute right to walk into any public school and ask for an assessment on your child to make sure that they are fulfilling their obligation. Because nothing upsets me more when I sit in a meeting and I hear, well, we don't have to provide the Cadillac. We only have to provide the Chevy of education. No, every child in America is entitled to a Cadillac education. At least that's what I believe, and that's why we have free public education.
That's true. What are the warning signs that a parent should look for?
First off, I want to say I will give you warning signs, but if your child is displaying them but doing okay in school, don't worry, okay? Because really what we're learning is they're early warning signs, but really it's not till they start tackling the letters and the actual language that we see the problem occur. But the big one is delayed language that we see. Children that don't begin speaking till the age of 3 or above, that could be a warning sign that something is going on. Just a warning sign. And again, it could be developmental. It may have nothing to do with dyslexia, but that's one of the strong warning signs. Children having a hard time following sequence or directions that you give them that would be normal for their age group. That's another great sign. When you put a child in kindergarten, you know, the kindergarten curriculum today is like first grade was 15 years ago,
right?
But, you know, we've really upbeat it. That's a separate conversation to have, but but I don't want to go there now. But really, when we look at kindergarten and they're struggling with acquisition of letters or sounds, or they mix words up in a sequence that you speak to them. Again, these are warning signs as a parent should just say to you, all right, my antenna's up. I'm going to watch what starts to happen, but don't let your child struggle too much. And again, if they're in public education, they have a right to ask for an educational team meeting to evaluate where the child is. And as a parent, that is your right. And I think your duty as a parent to make sure the school is providing for your child what they need.
And so you could, at that point, the parent would contact the teacher or the
usually
front
the teacher.
Office.
Usually the teacher, if there's a school counselor, you know, each school has their separate, you know,
a way of doing
a
it.
Way of doing it, but it is required by law. Okay. And if your child is not meeting the expectations that you have, or the expectations you feel they can reach, you need to be in dialogue with the school.
What is the usual? I guess every child is different, and every case of dyslexia is different. But what would then be the therapy?
Well, they need, first off, direct reading instruction. Most students who have dyslexia suffer from what we call poor phonemic awareness. Now, that isn't phonics. That's actually two levels below phonics, just distinguishing the basic sounds of the English language. And you, it's sort of like the base of your house. If you look at your house, if you don't build the foundation strongly, what you build atop is going to fall apart. So that phonemic awareness really needs to be intact. So the first thing you want to check is that the child has phonemic awareness. And there are simple tests to do that teachers can do. But if not, that's what you start attacking first, is building the child's sense of phonemic awareness, of hearing basic sounds. And it could be as simple as, gee, and I'll give you one. I'm going to say a sentence, and you're going to tell me how many words you hear. Things along, just to begin to develop their basic sense. Because if that foundation is not built, okay, whatever you build on top of that is just going to crumble. And think about math. If you don't know addition, you can't do subtraction. And if you don't know multiplication, you can't do division. And if you can't do all that, no way are you going to do algebra. Yeah. Okay, you could use a calculator, but you wouldn't understand it. So what I'm bringing out is what we need to do, and that's why it's sometimes hard when we get students in third and fourth grade, is we need to take them back to the very basis of what the language is built on. Again, we created this language. This wasn't something our brains were wired to do. So it's natural that some people struggle with this. It doesn't mean they're not bright. But again, we created this language called English. And what's interesting is when we look at other languages in the world, like Chinese, the prevalence of dyslexia is nowhere near it is in the United States. I mean, it's very low because it's a very visual language. It's a very symbol language. You look at a language like the Semitic languages, like Hebrew or Arabic, that's very phonetic in nature. Okay, very low prevalence in those languages. You come to the Romanic languages or the languages like English, boy, you see a large prevalence, especially in English. The least, from what I understand from the studies out, is Italian. That's a great language for dyslexics to learn. Very phonetic.
But Spanish?
Spanish also. Our students at GEMSE do very well with Spanish once they've mastered English. So
it's wonderful.
Yes.
But that's very interesting that English for it is a language, of course. Any language user who has been born and raised in the language is generally so familiar with it, they can't imagine how anybody could have problems with it.
Well, remember, it's different from oral versus written language. You know, we learn to speak. That's natural. You know, you put any child in any environment and leave them there as a baby, they're going to learn to speak the language. Learning to read a language and become literate in a language is something very different.
Ben, this has been wonderful. We've got about a minute left. What are the major issues in a minute or less for dyslexia in Maryland? What would you have the Annapolis do, and what can our
I believe
our,
it's
our
time
listeners do to help?
Having one of the best school districts in the country, and we do. I mean, when you compare it to other school districts, it's sad that we do not have a literacy law on our books that requires all children to be literate. And I think that's something that could happen in Annapolis. It's just happened in Ohio. It's happened in Texas. And I'd love to see it happen in Maryland, because really, as Marylanders, we should be very proud of our educational system compared to the rest of the country. That's not to say we still can't improve.
Yeah.
But as an overall public education system, we have a very fine one. And lastly, parents, if you're concerned about dyslexia, I have a number for you to call. That's the International Dyslexia Association headquarters, and that's 410-296-0232. And again, I just want to thank you for doing a show on dyslexia.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And unfortunately, Ben, that's all we have time for today. And for our listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in. Our guest today has been Mr. Ben Schifrin, who is head of the GEMSE School and on the board of the International Dyslexia Association Maryland Branch. Ben, thank you so much. Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you, and thank you for listening.
My pleasure. For living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.